Now, a federal lawsuit filed this week by the American Civil Liberties Union is taking aim at the Milwaukee Police Department. The lawsuit accuses the department of carrying out what they call an unconstitutional stop and frisk program that they say disproportionately targets minority residents in the city. The Milwaukee Police Chief Ed Flynn denies the department has ever used such a practice. Here's Chief Flynn's explanation.
Stop and frisk is entirely different than what we're doing. What we've been doing is using lawful traffic enforcement in public spaces to affect the environment.
On a national level, stop and frisk has been a controversial policing practice that critics say unfairly often targets people of color. Some police departments have defended the practice. It was endorsed by President Donald Trump. That said, the use of stop and frisk by New York City police was halted after a federal court ruled that the way they were doing it was unconstitutional back in 2013.
Cami Chavis joins us now. She's a professor of law and director of the criminal justice program at Wake Forest University School of Law. Cami, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, Cami, before we get going too far, can we define what stop and frisk policies look like?
Yes, so it's very interesting because I think that first thinking about the legal framework of when can you lawfully stop and frisk a citizen is important because what the lawsuit is alleging and what lawsuits across the country have alleged in the past is that these stops are made unlawfully. So to lawfully stop someone, a police officer has to have reasonable suspicion of criminal activity. There are lots of interactions that citizens have with police officers every day that might not be deemed a stop, and that's okay. Those are consensual encounters. That's okay. But when it becomes a stop, when we're thinking about the length of time or the tone the officer is using or the individual's inability to be free to leave, that's a stop, and that requires a reasonable suspicion of criminal activity. In order to then frisk someone, you'd have to have reasonable suspicion of armed danger. And what the lawsuit is alleging is that these stops are being made without that, without those justifications in place.
Who gets to decide what constitutes reasonable suspicion?
Well, so it's interesting in terms of an officer and that the officer's experience receives a great deal of deference from courts because traditionally this would arise when we're thinking about a motion to suppress some evidence maybe that's been found on a suspect, and then the court would look back at the officer and the officer's justification for stopping that individual. What's happening here, though, is that so many people are being, and this is not necessarily just Milwaukee, of course, this practice occurs in many police departments. Most police departments will have some version of this, and will have their own guidelines, internal guidelines, as to what constitutes, the ability, that reasonable suspicion to stop someone. But a lot of these cases aren't adjudicated because nothing's found on the victims of this or on the folks that are stopped. So it's very difficult to say. It's really what has the officer articulated?
Now, we heard Milwaukee's Chief Flynn saying that these are not stop and frisk practices going on in Milwaukee. They are traffic stops. And he goes on further to say that there's a correlation between some reduced nonviolent crime and more traffic stops. What do you make of that argument?
Well, and it's interesting because, and I don't want to, just in terms of getting into the middle of, is this unconstitutional what Milwaukee's doing or not? That's going to be a question for the courts to decide. But I can say that when you are stopping a large number of individuals, whether they're pedestrians or whether they're in their cars, you still have to have some reasonable suspicion to effectuate that stop. You can't just indiscriminately, and that's one of the core principles, really, of the Fourth Amendment, that you can't detain someone for an investigatory reason without this reasonable suspicion of criminal activity. And I think the problem is that this is really kind of been watered down, watering down of reasonable suspicion. And again, the ACLU's lawsuit against the Milwaukee Police Department, one of the allegations is that it's based on racial profiling, that these stops are based on racial profiling. And so, of course, reasonable suspicion for any criminal activity cannot be because you belong to a certain ethnic group. So that's the second part of this lawsuit.
What kinds of markers would a court potentially look at to determine whether there was racial profiling going on?
Well, the numbers here, and again, I'm looking at the numbers from Milwaukee. So over an 8-year period, I guess in 2007, there were 66,000 of these traffic or pedestrian stops. And then in 2015, that number had tripled to 196,000 traffic or pedestrian stops. And so you have many people, and again, the lawsuit that's filed by the ACU makes this clear, many folks are stopped more than one time, right? So multiple times within a year. But when we're thinking about what a court would look at, the numbers are important, these disparities, right? Why would we have so many more African American, Latino folks being stopped in a disproportionate number to where they are as part of the population? Sometimes as you may know, equal protection cases like this is very difficult because the disparities alone can't tell the story. You'd have to kind of prove some discriminatory intent as well.
We're talking right now with Cammie Chavis, professor of law and director of the criminal justice program at Wake Forest University School of Law. And we're talking about stop and frisk practices right now. We're looking at a lawsuit filed by the American Civil Liberties Union against the Milwaukee Police Department, which alleges that the department engages in thousands of illegal stop and frisks targeting African Americans and Latinos every year. And we'll pick up that conversation in just a bit.
We continue our conversation now with Cammie Chavis, professor of law and director of the criminal justice program at Wake Forest University's School of Law, talking about stop and frisk police tactics. A lawsuit filed this week by the American Civil Liberties Union alleges that the Milwaukee Police Department engages in thousands of what they're saying are illegal stop and frisks, often targeting African Americans and Latinos every year.
And Cammie, the ACLU's lawsuit claims that this alleged stop and frisk program has created and deepened public fear of and alienation from the Milwaukee Police Department, particularly among Black and Latino residents. What do we know about the effects of stop and frisk policies, the effect that they have on communities?
Yes, certainly, if you can imagine being a young African American or Latino male, often teenagers or young folks who are walking, going about their business, and then are vigorously, right, are stopped, detained, questioned, their hands are placed on their body, and they're doing nothing wrong. This engenders a lot of distrust within the community. And I don't want to gloss over the fact that Milwaukee has and is suffering from an acute homicide problem, and the majority of victims of homicide in Milwaukee are racial minorities. However, there are a lot of things that we can do to solve that problem, and aggressive police tactics don't have to be one of them. I'm sympathetic to thinking about needing to solve these homicides, but it's a catch-22 because the very people that police officers need the cooperation of in terms of helping to investigate homicides and prevent certain types of violent crime are the same people who feel, based on the lawsuit, who feel victimized by the police. So it's a very delicate situation, and I think that also the ACLU's lawsuit. They're asking for changes within the Milwaukee Police Department, very consistent with changes that we've seen, reforms that we've seen introduced in other jurisdictions, increased transparency in policing, better training and supervision, those types of things.
Now, the New York City Police Department has had the stop and frisk issue come before the courts. What do we know about that specific example and how it might influence or have bearing on what could happen with this Milwaukee ACLU lawsuit?
Well, I think, you know, the facts are of in New York are the facts in New York, and the facts in Milwaukee will be the facts in Milwaukee, and so the court's going to look at that. But I think if you go back to the question that you asked earlier about what do we know about the relationship, the changes, or the damage, quite frankly, that certain practices can do. We definitely see that, and there are lots of examples from New York, lots of oral testimonies from folks, particularly in New York, and I think that there are some in Chicago and as well that have surfaced just about the fear, really, of lots of citizens who may be afraid because their neighborhood is unfortunately not as safe as it should be, but then they don't want to have a partnership or a discussion or relationship with police officers because they fear them as well. So that's the danger that we should be trying and seeking to avoid.
Cammie, what kind of alternatives are there for communities who say this is a high crime area and this kind of tactic, whether it's stop and frisk or some sort of more blanketed enforcement, is the thing that's going to work there? What is the alternative?
There are several things, lots of things that can be done. We hear lots of talk about community policing, right? And I've said before that there's not a police chief in the United States that's going to tell you that they're not implementing community policing. Every police chief is going to say, "Well, we're implementing community policing, and community policing is going to help us with our public safety problem." The only issue with that is that there are many different ways in which many different tenets of community policing that do work, but they're not always being implemented. So I think that the real challenge here is to form those relationships with citizens, allow citizens to set some of the justice priorities within their own communities, and so that there can be this true partnership. But I think that indiscriminately, and I'm not saying that this is happening, but when residents feel that they are indiscriminately stopped, searched, question, and they're not doing anything wrong, that's not going to make a very good partner.
Cammie, thank you so much for joining us again today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
That was Cammie Chavis, professor of law and director of the Criminal Justice Program at Wake Forest University School of Law. She joined us to talk about the ACLU's lawsuit against the Milwaukee Police Department, which alleges that the department is engaging in illegal stop and frisk tactics. And we'll continue watching the story as that lawsuit goes forward.